WOMC HD3 Detroit, KMPS HD3 Seattle, WBMX HD3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Enlightened philosophers tell us that we are divine beings in human form. Let's get real here. How can we live a busy life with a job, kids, and a mortgage and still be spiritual? Join CJ Liu as she tackles real life issues through a spiritual lens and talks with experts in relationships, work, and more. You'll get practical life skills and learn how to touch, feel, and experience a whole new way of living. Be a force for good and fire it up with CJ. Log on fireitupwithcj.com and call CJ now.
248-545-SOLV.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Welcome to Fire It Up with CJ. I'm Cassandra, and I'm here with you today with CJ, and we are going to tackle real-life issues through a spiritual lens. February, our focus is going to be on love, which we're all thinking about it. It happens every year. This month, we think about love. We have a great guest today. She's an intuitive coach and an author of 3 books, and we are going to talk about your soulmate. She's going to help you discover your soulmate, how to find your soulmate. Do you even have a soulmate? Her name is Sue Frederick, and I'm going to let CJ really talk about her more than me because she is the host of our show. And I really want to welcome CJ to our Sky Radio show today. We're here every Wednesday at 4 o'clock Eastern Time. And welcome, CJ.
Welcome. Thank you. It's our second show. Woohoo!
I know. Our show last week was wonderful. Great guests. They were so fun. I just loved talking to them.
They were really fantastic. And today we have Sue Frederick. And, you know, I was preparing for the show, and I was walking around Green Lake, which is a really popular place to do workouts around here. And I ran into 2 of my yoga buddies. And they said, well, what's your show on? And I said, well, you know, at some deep level, we all are looking for our soulmate. So it's really about connecting with that. And at the same time, on cue, they both went, aww. I love. Because I think at some deep level, we all do craze. You know, we kind of wonder, like, is there a soulmate out there? Will we find them? And today our guest, Sue Frederick, is the author of a book, I See Your Soulmate. And we're going to be talking about that. Welcome, Sue.
Hey, CJ. It's great to be here with you.
It's great to have you here. I am a big fan of your work. And my first question is, do you think it's possible for you to go through your whole life and never find your soulmate?
That is what people worry about, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Well, the way I want them to think about it is when we make soulmate agreements before we drop into this physical world, physical lifetime, and when we get here, though, we still have free will. We have free choice. So, for example, if we say, I am not going to live my true life, I'm not going to speak my truth, I'm not going to be who I really feel like I am inside, and we sort of hide out, we can make that choice and not do our great work, not live our true life. And by making those kinds of choices, we are not holding out the beacon that attracts our soulmate who we made the agreement with. So it is possible if we live that kind of life very much off path that we won't attract the person we made an agreement with before the lifetime began.
Okay, so someone says our agreement is null and void. Now tell us about that. When did I make this agreement?
So here's the thing. Our soulmate agreements do not say, hey, when I find you down there, I'm just going to love you forever, and it's all going to be wine and roses and no problems at all. That's what Hollywood wants us to think, but that's not how we make our agreements. The agreements are like this. They say, I love you, your essence. I've incarnated with you for many lifetimes. I know that you're dropping into that physical world for one purpose, which is to evolve your soul and help other souls evolve. So when I bump into you down there in the physical world, I am going to remind you of that. And it could be with pain, it could be with joy and love, but I'm going to help you remember your highest self, your true self, and who you came here to be.
Well, I'll tell you that my husband, how I met him, is I met him at a business meeting, and I turned to my boss and said, that guy is really cute. And I would never have done that. I'm very kind of closed, you know, that kind of thing when at work. And I said, that guy. And then I told my mom after the first day, I'm like, that's a guy I'm going to marry, which you do not tell a Chinese mother these things. You don't do it. You're in trouble.
Right.
And so, but I, she reminded me, like, I did not say that to you. And she said, yes, you did. And I said, well, I think it's because I knew at some, and I'll tell you, on our first date, I thought, I wonder what car he drives. And I'm not a materialistic person. I just thought, I wonder what car he drives. He drives the same car as me. I bet he does. So sure enough, he comes over and he has a blue Honda Civic, same color, same model, same make, same year. And then we talk, and he's reading On the Road by Jack Kerouac, which not a lot of people were reading the book at that time. He's listening to the same tape. I do a tarot card reading with him, and what possessed me to do a tarot card reading on the first day? I don't know what I was thinking of, but I flipped the card, and I actually predicted every card. I'm like, this is going to be the tower. This is going to be the whatever, and I don't know what kind of magic juju occurred, but it did.
But,
so I think
yeah, you're talking about your intuition, and intuition is a huge part of this. And the,
yeah.
the reason you were able to recognize him intuitively is that we do make an agreement beforehand, and that means that we will recognize this person when they show up. But it doesn't mean we're going to recognize the surface package. Like, I've had many people who tell me about getting very confused because they thought that their partner should look a certain way, and then all of a sudden they meet the person that they resonate with, and yet that partner isn't in the package that they expected. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And what you're talking about is that deeper intuitive connection that comes from the heart. In other words, when our heart is open and we're sending out love, our intuition is flowing, and so we completely tap into that partner and what they're thinking and doing. And that's how we know it is exactly our soulmate. But I also want to say we have more than one soulmate sometimes.
Ooh, okay. What does that mean? Does that mean we'll get divorced and get another soulmate? Or what?
Well,
what's
that? Here's the thing. If we've come here on a big lifetime plan, we really wanted to evolve. We really wanted to push ourselves. We really wanted to get some great work done. And I can say that I signed up for that kind of a lifetime. That we will have soulmates who nudge us to wake up and remember who we are, but they may not be the people that we're going to spend the lifetime with. So, for example, if people who've read my books know that my husband died in my arms when I was 29, and so then, you know, I believed he was my soulmate, and I still know that he is one of my soulmates, but his lesson, his agreement with me, was that he was going to wake me up to my spiritual intuitive self, make me own that in the world, which is his death brought me to be able to do the work I do. But then after I was doing this work, I attracted the soulmate that I've been with for 10 years, raising my kids with, who is the coming home soulmate, meaning the person who's here to nurture me and love me, and I love him and nurture him as we create our home and family together.
Okay, well, that just blows my mind. So there's some ones that are like, I'm going to nurture you, soulmate, and then there's ones who, I'm going to awaken you, soulmate.
Right.
Ah, okay. That explains girlfriends who are like, I hate my previous husband who cheated on me. But you know what? In some cases, it's like they woke me to that I just wasn't even getting anything that I wanted in my life.
Exactly.
So So it
you
works
know,
out
I mean, when people go through a horrible divorce, often when they look back on it years later, they say, I am so glad that ended. No matter how much it hurt me, my life is in such a better place now, and I am so much happier, and I know who I am, and I'm living my true life. Well, then you thank that ex-partner for nudging you, fulfilling their soulmate agreement, and waking you up to who you're supposed to be in this lifetime.
Mm. Okay, so here's, I think this is maybe a new concept for folks, this whole soul agreement. Is it with God? Is it with each other? Is there a notary republic? I mean, what happens?
Yes, you have to go to the document signing building in the highest realm and have it witnessed. No, actually, you know what? That's not too far from the truth. There's so many guides, and yes, God, all involved in our learning on the other side, in the higher realms. And on different levels of the astral planes, there are different kinds of meaning. There are sort of schools and that sort of thing on some of the levels. And on the highest levels, there is God, Om, okay, light, love. We are part of that God, love, light. And when we choose to come down into this physical world, it's only for a purpose of evolving our souls and helping the whole group consciousness of humanity to evolve. So we don't come here to live happily ever after and have everything go the way we want it. We come here to learn and evolve. And of course we can learn through fun and joy, but who really pays attention when they're having fun? So
right.
Most of the time we have to hit a challenge or a bump in the road in order to start learning and growing.
Yeah, sad but true, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That we don't grow through. I mean, sometimes you can grow through fun. I think it just fills our hearts up. But
exactly.
I do think that you grow and learn through suffering and with the right kind of partner and nurturance.
And this is why relationships are so essential down here and why they're so important to us, because they are the primary agreements that we have to help us evolve. So whether it's our children, our mother, our siblings, any relationships we have agreements with for all of us to help each other evolve. And when a man breaks your heart and your heart is broken apart and you feel stripped bare and broken open, thank God for that, because you are now finally remembering who you are, waking up, and your life you can choose or not choose to move forward to even a greater life and greater love.
Okay, that's interesting. So part of that is, and that the way you explained it earlier, is that it's because we weren't on our path that someone comes to remind us to be on our path.
Right.
But what happens if even after someone reminds us we're still not on our path? Then
we'll get another nudge of some kind. You know, I mean, I had quite a few nudges. I'm a very stubborn person. And, you know, I'm 61 now, CJ. So, you know, my husband broke my heart when I was 29. And then I went off to be a journalist. And I was doing okay, but I still hadn't stepped into the real work that I was here to do. And so I did have another broken heart. And that broken heart sent me on to an ashram, basically, is how I put it. I went and spent months in an ashram meditating and devoting my life to the spiritual search. And finally from that, I said, you know what, when everything is stripped away, the thing I know to be true about myself is I have a spiritual perspective that helps others, and I intuitively see the great potential in people, and I will somehow make my living from that. And that's when my life got on path.
So when you said to yourself, when you actually found your authentic self, that's when you also were opening yourself up to find your current husband.
Right. And the thing is, our authentic selves are oftentimes not what other people expect of us or want us to be, or what society says we should be.
Right. Yes, unfortunately.
And we want to fit in and we want to be loved. And so, you know, here I was trying to be a journalist and I was a magazine editor. And, of course, I was writing about health, trying to do good work. But I was really this incredible spiritual student and teacher. And all I wanted to ever talk about or think about was spirituality and intuition and the other realms and seeing ghosts. And yet I would go cover a city council meeting for a newspaper, or I would write a story about vitamin C for a magazine. And all of those are great things, but I had really evolved to a point where I had to really step out of the box and do this work.
All right, so there we have it, folks. If you want to find your soulmate, if you haven't found them yet, it could be that you haven't started your soul path like Sue was just talking about. Next segment, we're going to be talking about how do you get your significant other to be more romantic. So we will be right back.
It's going to be a good one. We're going to be right back. To get a schedule of Fire It Up events, articles, and more information from CJ, you can go to our Facebook. It's Fire It Up with CJ. Or you can go to our website. It's fireitupwithcj.com. She makes it real easy for us. We'll be right back on CBS Radio, The Sky.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And Fire It Up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com. And call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
On CBS Radio's The Sky. Sky.
Welcome back to Fire It Up with CJ. Our guest today is intuitive coach Sue Frederick, and she's the author of I See Your Soulmate. She is also today talking about finding your soulmate. Did you already find your soulmate at the grocery store and miss him? She's going to tell us all about that, and she's going to put all our fears and our worries at rest about that. You can, once again, look for CJ on our Facebook or her website, and it's Fire It Up with CJ. Or fireitupwithcj.com is her website, so you can get more information and articles and things like that there.
Thank you, Cassandra. So, hi, everyone. I'm CJ Liu, and it's Valentine's Day coming up, and maybe you're wondering, will my boyfriend even remember or my partner ever remember? And if so, how can I get that romantic thing going? Why is that only happening in the movies? How can I make my partner more romantic? So we have Sue Fredericks, and she's going to be talking about her book, I See Your Soulmate. And in her book, she talks about 10 sacred steps to brilliant love. So welcome, Sue.
Well, I love it that you're talking about this right before Valentine's Day because, boy, we can sure sabotage ourselves at Valentine's Day by putting out a lot of expectations of what we want. Agreed?
Yes, this is true. I'm waiting for my plethora of gifts.
Yeah,
my birthday is on February 15th, so seriously, I always get gifts.
Well, you know, the one thing I'd like for listeners to consider is that the best approach to moving towards Valentine's is to think about themselves as being the love that they want to get from their partner. So in other words, they're going into this, whether they're a man or a woman, thinking, I am going to love my partner by giving sweet little things that are unexpected, meaning just go bring her a cup of tea if she is reading and likes tea without her asking me. Or I'm going to go and bring her breakfast in bed. I mean, these simple little acts of giving open your partner's heart. And then your partner is much more eager to reciprocate. And I talk about that step in my book of giving. Another very powerful thing is understanding who your partner is. We've been talking about soul missions and what we've all signed up to do. We each come here on a certain birth path. When you read my book, I See Your Soulmate, you can figure out your husband's or wife's path and figure out what they're here to accomplish in the lifetime. And give to them your understanding of who they are and support them in that. That's the greatest gift you can ever give anyone, right?
Mm-hmm. And you know what? When we had talked, this is my second, actually my third. I don't know. I've talked to Sue many times because I love her. But we must have been previous soulmates in another life. So, but my husband's path is a 22, and according to your book, it's a big path. And so when I look at that, I think, how I'm going to support him is to continually help him getting on his path and saying, you have an important message to get out there. That's part of why you're here in this world. That's what I'm taking from. That's part of what I'm supposed to do as his partner to help him accomplish what he needs to in his lifetime. Is that what you mean by that?
Yes, but is he happy with his career now? I mean, is he doing something now that is really, because he's in a 9-year right now, CJ. He's at the end of a cycle.
Ah, okay. Well, I think he's doing what he loves doing, but he's still in transition.
Yeah.
And so it's hard. It's a hard year for him.
It is a hard year, and it's a lot of surrender for him this year. So, you know, one thing to give him as a gift is to understand that he's not sure of where he's going right now and just surrender any need for you to see where he's going and help him understand that it's all going to be fine, and he just has to sort of get through this little transition, and he'll be headed in a new, bigger direction with his life. But tell him, for him to be successful and happy, he has to think bigger than he's been thinking about.
Okay,
his
so this you get from, so this you know through looking at his birthday, looking, and so when you say giving and understanding who your partner is, you're knowing this by looking at the year that he's in, which is in your book, and also is by his birthday. So you can say this year for him is about surrender.
Right.
So
but
that's,
also
okay,
you
so
add
that's
the intuition piece to it, and I talk about this in the book too, that when I look at a person's date of birth and I see their path, their birth path, and their sun sign, I sort of use that as their my gateway to feeling their journey, feeling their pain, feeling their gifts, what they're here, what they're going through and experiencing. You can do this for your partner. You can meditate, sit down, quiet your mind, put your hand on their date of birth, look at their path and feel it, ask to understand it, ask to see what pain they're going through and how you can help them, and then notice what feelings and impressions and ideas come to you, and you're getting intuitive guidance to help you love your partner better.
Mm, I like that. I like that better than the tea part. No offense, but that has to be explicitly written in the contract where it's a reciprocal agreement where I will get them tea and they will also get me tea.
I know, but you know, last night I was afraid I might have been getting sick, and I was in bed early, and I just thought, I'm just going to go to sleep. I don't even want to eat or anything. And my amazing husband went out and got me chicken matzo ball soup, came home, put it in a bowl, and brought it to me in bed without me ever asking for anything. And, you know, your heart opens so much when somebody does something like that for you. So to get the love you want, give the love you want.
I know. It makes obvious sense, but it's so hard to do.
You know, because
there's
especially when you have kids, I know.
The resentment thing, you're like, well, he never does that for me. Why do I have to be the first one to do that?
You well, know, you I mean, have to think it's not a scorecard or a competition. You know, it's a soulmate agreement, and the best thing you can do is do your part of it as best as you can.
Okay, and know that it may not have been completely reciprocal.
Well, in this little blip that you're together right now, this is a tiny piece of your relationship over many lifetimes. Who knows what your partner did for you last lifetime?
Oh, that's good. So if you think of multiple lives, then the scorecard is unclear. It could have been that whole previous life he was giving to me.
It
and now
could
it's
be.
Like...
You could owe him a debt, honey.
I love that. Okay, so what are some other ideas for, I love the idea of meditating and figuring out what can you give your partner based on their birthday, the where they are in their life. What else, what are some other things that, because you have these 10 great sacred steps, what are some other ideas about getting?
Another one that I love, of course, is the last step in the group, and that's called fantasize. And, you know, when you're just during the day, maybe you're walking somewhere or driving in your car, I want you to just imagine a great romantic connection with your partner. And I want you to see it happening, whether it's them saying something to you or giving you something or touching you in a certain way or kissing you. See that fantasy and wrap it with love, send it energy, and you are making that little instant happen in your future life. That's way better than what we usually do, which is, I'm so mad he didn't pick up his laundry, and you're fantasizing all the things you're angry about, which is just sending the wrong energy out to your partner, right?
Yes, you're fantasizing murder.
Exactly,
you know?
Fantasizing murder rather than romance.
Exactly. Why? How many times do I have to ask him to get my dry cleaning?
Right.
God.
And the other, so you're reminding me of a really important stat, refocus. Because when we're married, especially when we're raising kids, we just want to focus on the things that our partner is not doing right. The more we focus on that, the bigger those things get. So if you're going to focus on what a mess he makes in the bathroom, that's all that you're going to see in him. And pull back and instead focus on his generous, loving spirit, his kind heart, the things you fell in love with in the first place. Focus on those, And every time you're irritated about the thing that you're focusing on that he does wrong, instead focus on the things you love about him. This mm-hmm. will heal your relationship.
Mm. You know, I was actually, one of the practices I'm doing right now is a gratitude practice. And I wrote down my gratitude practice, of course, to my girlfriend. I didn't say anything to my husband. I'm like, I'm so grateful to my husband because he did this, this, and this, and this, and this. And I said to my husband, the theory is that you should feel this on some level. And, I said,
of
did
course.
You? And he's like, no, I didn't. He said, maybe you should thank me next time.
Well, you have to do both.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. So, Sue, thanks again for your wonderful advice. We have two callers on the line, so we're going to be doing some readings in the next segment, and we're going to be doing some compatibility, asking all sorts of questions about, is your soulmate out there? Are you beginning to wonder? So we'll be right back with some callers.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on fireduppwithcj.com and call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
On CBS Radio's The Sky. Sky.
Welcome back to Fire It Up with CJ. Our guest today is intuitive coach Sue Frederick, and she's the author of I See Your Soulmate. If you want to call in, you can do that now at 248-545-7685, or you can send an instant feedback to New Sky Radio. Just make sure you give us your birthday, the month, the day, and the year when you write in or call in, and we are going to be taking some phone calls.
So welcome back, everybody. Hi, I'm CJ Liu, and we have Sue Frederick, who is the author of I See Your Soulmate, and we've been talking about how to have a romantic Valentine's Day and about your soulmate. And we have a caller, Kimberly from Minnesota, and she shared with us her birthday, and she wants to ask Sue about soul contracts. Welcome, Kimberly.
Thank you.
Glad to
have
you
know, you're going to have to chat with her for a second, because for some reason, Sue is not there any longer on the line.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool.
So you guys can chat, and we can talk about soulmate, and then wait for Sue to call back.
Okay, Kimberly, so tell me a little bit about your question about soul contracts.
Well, I was really just wondering, like, right now I'm currently in a relationship with a very wonderful man, but there tends to be undercurrents of anger and blame, and just kind of wondering, you know, it's like, how do you know when that's actually a soulmate with a contract, you know, just to push my buttons to get me to grow, or whether it's time to be done with it and just know that maybe it wasn't, that maybe I went into it too, from too logical of a perspective instead of a heart connection.
Yeah. How would you describe what your heart connection feels like right now with him? I mean, does there, when you were with him, what were the things that were the things that...
Yeah. I hate to say it, but I don't know. It's like I've talked about this before with some people. I don't feel like there's ever been a sense of communion. Like I heard what you were saying with you just, you know, you had that intuitive knowing. And I tend to be pretty darn intuitive, but, you know, like he fit my list. Just an absolutely wonderful man who has integrity and adores me, which so then the question also becomes, am I just running, like, because I like, you know, it's easy to run away from problems. So how do you know when you're just running or when it's time to be done? And whether or not this is truly a soul contract or not.
So Kimberly, I was disconnected. This is Sue, and then I'm back here. And can I talk to her now about it?
Yeah, sure. I didn't know if you heard
I can hear you.
Your question. Okay,
yeah.
Good. Perfect.
All right. And then, Kimberly, I did hear the end where you're wondering about this man, but let me ask you, how long have you been with him?
We met over 9 years ago, but we've been married 7.5 years.
All right. So here's what's going on. You are, this year, entering into a year that you need to really be owning your power in every area. And you're an old soul. You have a beautiful healing energy about you. You're very intuitive, as you say, but there are some areas of your life that you've been holding back in. And in this year, you have to speak your truth in every area. And by next year, you're either walking away from the relationship here or you're going to heal it and reinvent it. But it requires you to bring your full truth and your full self into this relationship to make it work.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It does.
Are you willing to do that, do you think?
That's the question. And that's something that I am trying to sit with. And I think that's what I have been trying to sit with instead of just running away and trying to be clear, but I have definitely found it difficult to be clear on that.
Yeah. Well, one thing I want you to think of is this is really a final lifetime for you. So you're going to be handed a lot of challenges that require you to step into your compassion, your forgiveness,
okay,
your healing love, and not to be disappointed and bitter, which will throw you very much off path. And this relationship gives you a great opportunity to make that choice.
Okay. Okay.
Does that feel right?
Yes. Yes.
Are you happy with your career?
Yes, I love it. It's still morphing. I have a practice where I combine healing with flower essences, mm-hmm, herbalism, massage therapy, craniosacral, and kundalini yoga.
And that's where I want you to put all of your energy this year, 2013, because when I say owning your power, this business really needs to get bigger and bigger, and this is the year that it will happen. And if you throw all of your energy into it this year, it's going to take off and fulfill you in so many ways that you will not be so discontent with your husband. You'll be so fulfilled by your work.
Okay. That's great. Thank you.
Any other questions?
No. So I guess just to clarify, there's no quote unquote right or wrong with this relationship. It's merely a choice.
Well, here's the beautiful thing. We have soulmate agreements and we have free will.
Yeah.
And we want to think that it's either destiny or free will, but it's actually both, which makes things a lot more complicated than, you know, we would like. But you get to choose in this relationship if you're going to move forward with him, but you get to choose if you're going to fulfill your own soul mission while you move forward with him or without him.
Okay.
But your soul mission is more important even than what you do about this relationship.
Okay.
It's prioritizing.
Yes, exactly. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I heard. This is your year to prioritize. Thank you so much, Kimberly, for calling. We actually have another caller who sent in some information from Seattle, and she's wondering about her compatibility. Thank you so much, Kimberly.
CJ?
Yeah, so Sue, that we had some birth dates that I'd sent you about some folks in Seattle. Could you give us a sense of their compatibility? And
right, okay. So I looked at these two birth dates and birth paths, and one thing I'll say is that the first person, I'm going to have to use a name or some description here. I know she wanted it to be confidential. I will call her Loretta, okay?
Okay.
Loretta is really a divine master soul. She's on the 33, the highest frequency path a person can come in on. Huge, huge ability to heal and help people, which obviously she's already beginning to do or doing in her work. But this year is a year where she's longing for deeper love and deeper commitment and deeper heart opening, and so that's probably why she's wondering about her partner. And their relationship number is a 7, and that means that what it needs, and especially right now, is it needs to be brought together through spiritual connection, meaning daily meditation together, talking about what they each believe in, going in on retreats together to explore ideas, practicing intuitive connection. One of the steps in my book is how do you strengthen your intuitive connection with your partner? Well, they have a good intuitive connection, but they need to work on it and make it stronger right now. If they don't do these spiritual sorts of things, their relationship can really deteriorate to where they're critical of each other.
Mm. How about if the partner doesn't want to do? I mean, not everyone's into this spiritual kind of stuff. What does one do if you have a partner who doesn't want to do that?
Well, we're bringing up the idea of the free will. If they do this together, they're fulfilling their agreement, and they will love each other and continue on. If one partner isn't going to go there, then Loretta has to go there by herself anyway, because she is this incredible master soul. She cannot give up her spirituality or hide it in this lifetime. She's really got to own it. And she is on the highest frequency path a person can choose. No way that she can let a partner keep her from making spirituality a huge part of her life.
So if you look at her partner, Sam, partner number two, what would you say is their path and her, what she's supposed to do to support and be compatible with that person?
Well, that person is a Pisces one. Their partner is a Pisces one, which means that their lesson in this lifetime is to believe in themselves no matter what and to follow their own unique vision in the world. But she's also a Pisces, which means she's very intuitive and very evolved. So they are capable, these two. They've been in other lifetimes together. They are very capable in this lifetime of digging deep and embracing the unknown, the divine, and bringing that into their relationship and moving forward happily. However, the second partner, Sam, may decide that it's too threatening, because it would only be self-doubt that would hold Sam back from wanting to do this. And mm-hmm. I hope that she doesn't make that choice.
Hmm. Okay. All right. Great. Now we actually have another person, Heather from Toronto, and she just turned 50, and she's wondering, we got this from an instant feedback, and she's wondering if her soulmate is out there. Her birthday is February 2nd, 1963.
So I'd like to say to Heather that, you're on a path of a lot of passion and a lot of change, and I know that you've sort of been searching for that soulmate for a long time, but I will say that you've just started a new cycle of your life that's going to be the most powerful, intense 9-year cycle that you've ever had in a lifetime. It's requiring you to be some sort of alternative healer. I hope that maybe you're working in alternative health or alternative foods. That's really where your work should be. And along with that, there is a true love partner coming in for you. Literally within a year, like 2014 is a true love year for you, Heather, but make sure that you are, number one, embracing your highest self, meditating, beware of any addictive things. It's time to give up any sort of problems with addiction and really focus on your spiritual center, and then allow this partner to come in next year, and remember that you have gifts in the alternative healing realm.
Mm, beautiful. I love the idea of waiting, too. It's so hard for us to do that, though, isn't it?
But we're not supposed to be sitting around just waiting. You know, we're supposed to be focusing on our path and our great work.
I know, but it's still hard. Like, I remember going to a psychic once, and they said, you will have to wait another year. I'm like, seriously? So what am I supposed to do between now and then? But here's what I'm hearing you say.
You're not supposed to be doing. You're not supposed to be going out and just dating losers and wasting your time and energy. You're supposed to be developing your spiritual life, focusing on getting your great work done, changing your career if it needs to be changed. All of these things send up the beacon of light that attracts your soulmate.
Mm, I like that. So and sometimes there's certain years where it's like, it's just not happened for your sister. Just, you know,
it's a time
focus
to get
work
done. Right.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, and especially when people are in a 9-year and end of a cycle, they're cleansing, they're surrendering, they're letting go. If they bring a partnership in, it's only going to be a karmic teaching partnership, meaning a relationship that doesn't last long and teaches them a big lesson.
Mm, okay. I wish I had known that earlier. But thank you for telling me now.
Thank you for your incredible reading. Well, my great heartbreak came into my life when I was in a 9-year, that's for sure.
I think I've had one of those too, or more than that. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be taking a break. We'll be right back when we talk about how you vibrate that right kind, send out the right vibe to people. We'll be right back.
CBS Radio's Sky.
Yes, Scott.
Now back to Fired Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And Fired Up with CJ. Log on, firedupwithcj.com. And call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
Be. On CBS Radio's The Sky. Sky.
Welcome back to Fire It Up with CJ. This is our final segment of Fire It Up with CJ. And her guest today is Sue Frederick, author of the book, I See Your Soulmate. And we've been talking all about finding our soulmates. Have we already found our soulmate? Are we still looking for our soulmate? So we're going to go right back to that. But before I do that, I just want to real quick, once again, give our website and Facebook out for CJ. It's Fire It Up with CJ. It's real easy to remember. You can go on Facebook or her website, and you can look for articles, coaching tips, anything you need. You can get a hold of her there, and right back to you guys.
So thank you. So I am thrilled to have Sue Frederick here, who is the author of I See Your Soulmate. And I want to start off with a quote by Mark Twain, who said, when you fish for love, bait with your heart, not your brain. And I think that really resonates, Sue, with a passage in your book that talks about sending out the right kind of energy. And we talked about that in the second segment, too, about sending out the right kind of love energy. And I'm curious, how do you see the energy you're sending out affecting the energy that you receive?
Well, in a relationship, it's always an energy dance. And when we send out our, I mean, I tell people to think of it as we each have an energy continuum. At the bottom of our continuum is our pitiful self. I call mine Sadie. She's very sad and depressed and needy. She wants to watch Out of Africa over and over again. And then at the high end of my continuum is my brilliant self, and I call her Aretha, and she's powerful and fearless and filled with soul and courage and love. So each of us has that continuum. And when we're at our pitiful self at the low end, we're not going to attract the love we want because the energy we're putting out is so negative, it's literally blocking us from feeling any love that's out there for us. So our first job to get love is to raise our energy to that higher part of ourself, our brilliant self. And we're in charge of doing that. It's not our partner's job to raise our energy. It's our job.
So how do you get yourself when you're in Sadie mode, negative and brooding about?
Yeah.
How do you get yourself into powerful, soulful Aretha? Is it Aretha? Is that the name?
Aretha
Franklin. Okay, Aretha.
Well, you know, I have a great example of that because I was in pitiful self on Monday.
Okay.
Over the weekend, I flew to see my amazing 19-year-old daughter at college on the East Coast, and she is in her bliss. She's performing theater, which is her love, and I spent three incredible days with her. We were closer than ever. It was just the most wonderful visit. And I came home, and I cried the whole day. And my husband was saying, so is this sadness because you're missing your daughter? And I was talking about how I wished I was young and launching my life again, and all that pitiful self stuff was coming up. And, you know, he knows me well enough, just let it come up. And I cried throughout the day. And then that night I sat down and watched one of my favorite comedy shows on television. It made me start laughing. Humor is a great way to raise our energy. And then I started sending out gratitude to the universe that my daughter was so happy and that she had found her place and that I loved my work with clients and my books were doing well, and gratitude for my amazing husband, and gratitude raised my energy. And we each can pick a little humor, a little gratitude, and sending out sweetness. All of these things raise our energy, and then we feel the love that's coming to us.
And then do we attract the right person, or do we attract a different quality kind of person? So who do we attract when we're Sadie, and who do we
Well, when we're in pitiful self, we're going to attract pitiful love.
Oh, no. No, we don't want that.
We don't want that. All of us have had that. That's no fun. But when we're in brilliant self, powerful self, then we're attracting the real soulmate.
And do we, I mean, and when we're in pitiful self, do we even attract anything? Is it, cause,
well, honestly, yeah, but the wrong stuff.
So you're going to attract, you may be attracting a partner, but it's the wrong partner. And how do you even, so it's really, it's kind of tuning into how you're feeling. If you're feeling kind of mopey, and I call it schmoopy.
Yeah. In other words, it's okay. We're all going to have days here where we're in pitiful self. It's just part of being human. But we get to choose how long we're going to stay there. We get to choose, you know, am I going to spend the rest of my life grieving over this thing or this person or this job loss or this love loss? Or am I going to start taking responsibility for changing my energy and shifting it up the continuum so that I can then move forward and attract the good stuff that's waiting for me?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can make us do that energy shift. We have to do it ourselves.
Yeah. But what I love about what you did about that when you saw your daughter is that you allowed yourself a day to cry. You know, I mean, you didn't like all of a sudden just like, all right, I'm going to go watch this comedy show or I'll watch 10 minutes of Out of Africa and then I got to snap out of it.
Right, exactly. No, I mean,
it's
really true. We have to let the pain come. We have to let it move through us, and crying actually helps us to let it move it through us and just release it, surrender it. Sometimes if we try to hold it all inside, we just completely block our energy altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just stuck in flatlining, sort of.
See, that's what I see with most clients, because I have a whole bunch of, like, type A clients, because they're like me, type A. And what you do is you kind of, like, you fast-forward through all those, the sadness, the anger, the pitiful part of yourself. Mm-hmm. But I think that that doesn't solve the problem necessarily either. You think it does, but all you're doing is diverting it into some other non-functioning state.
Well, in my books, I talk about the Break Your Heart Wide Open meditation, which I think everybody should do when they feel there's some pain inside of them that is hanging them up, keeping them from moving forward. And what you do is you close your eyes and you repeat mantra or prayer for 20 minutes to quiet your mind, and then you put your hand palm facing up in front of your heart chakra, and you fill your hand with the pain that's in your heart. You ask to feel it. And as you fill your hand with it and feel that pain, if you can cry, cry it out. And then take the palm of your hand and move it away from you and out and up and say, I offer this pain to the divine gods to turn into love. And then just keep moving that pain out of your heart chakra with your hand and giving it away and crying if you can. If you do that for just 5 or 10 minutes, you are going to release so much pain. It's going to clear your energy so much.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. What a wonderful meditation to end with. Love that. Try that at home. Folks, next week we have Tyler Young, who is a dating coach, as well as Christina Pratt, talking about the 4 chambers of your heart. I didn't even know I had these chambers. So you'll find out what that means. Have a great weekend, everybody.